You notice I've got my boots on today, and they're called Wolverine. Now, who in here, who we got from Alaska here today? All right, do y'all have Wolverines up there?
Yep.
All right, what's the nature and character of a Wolverine? Is he a big guy like a bear, or what is he? But is he high to the ground or low to the ground? When you get into situations, your position is to stay low. I've got my Wolverine boots on today. Now, when I minister, I'm going to be giving words out, okay? And you just, it's up to you to grab a hold of them. When we get into things that we don't see coming, you got to get low. Let's open up. Hello, Bokashando, mighty God. You are worthy of all praise. And Father, we ask that the words of our lips, the words of my lips, and the meditation of our heart would be acceptable unto thy sight. Now, I want you to say this word with me in a way that you've never said it. The next two words to this psalm that I'm quoting is, O God. Let the words of our lips and the meditation of my heart be acceptable unto thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Call upon him in a way that you've never called upon him today. And Father, we thank you, we bless you, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. My workshop this morning, as you've heard the title, it's Cast Down but Unconquered. And the key scripture is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, 8, and 9. And we're just going to run down through that. Then we're going to come back. The Lord opened up me some new nuggets to this that I'd never experienced. Verse 7, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. And it starts out, cast down, but unconquered. And I'm going to go ahead and read the word. Verse 7 says, but we have in this treasure, in earthen vessels, the excellence of power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaking. Struck down, but not destroyed. Verse 10, always carrying about in the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. Wow. Wow. How many in here know we go through things? We go through stuff. Now let's look at a couple words as we do this. Cast down. Cast is the definition. I like to take things very elementary. I'm a very simple man. Okay, very simple guy. Cast down. Cast is the definition to throw. It actually means to throw. Let me share something with you. In the sport world of baseball, I'm sure everybody played baseball to a certain extent. When you get that one pitch that you can hit all the time, that's the pitch you want. But, you know, life will not give you the fastball that's waist high and down the middle of the plate where you can drive it, okay? Life will throw you a curve, a slider, even a knuckleball. A knuckleball comes in and that thing looks as big as a watermelon, but it's moving in every direction. And in life, we take shots to the head. We take shots to the chest. On June the 15th, when the policeman looked me in the eye and told me that my daughter was pronounced dead on the scene of I-20 in an automobile accident, I've never felt the power and the thrust that hit me in the chest, the raw power, and it tried to cast me down. It tried to absolute cast me down. But what must we do when we take a shot to the head? It says the helmet, Ephesians 6, 17, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. All right, verse 14 will say, gird our waist with truth, right? We're going to get hit in the head or we're going to get hit in the heart. Life does not play fair. Let me tell you something. Satan does not play fair. He's going to come to you. Jesus said he's the father of all lies, right? He's going to come through in the basis of a lie and deception and conniving, so to speak. And we must have the breastplate of righteousness. We must have the shield of faith. Now, if you notice my pants today, looky here, when you get in situations, Nancy said a little bit, I'm not going to get, you know, we've been through a lot, seemed to speak, in man's nature. But when I went through that situation with my daughter, all I could do was quote scriptures. Now, if you notice my pockets, they're containers, right? That's actually a container. When you get in a situation, you need to have the Word of God. Anywhere you can have it on you, you've got to let it come forth. Speak life. And I'm going to tell you, even when you have a situation that man is calling out death, there's life. Paul calls what? Jesus is the resurrection and life. I've got to hurry up to get to the point. Down. The definition of down is from higher to lower. Higher to lower. The Word of God in Ephesians chapter 2 says what? That I am seated with Christ. Let's just turn over that real quick. In heavenly places. I mean, I don't want to quote it. I really want us to go somewhere here. Ephesians chapter 4, chapter 2. Let's start at verse 4. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love in which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Verse 6. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen. So whatever occurrence that we come at, whether it be death, whether it be turmoil, whether it be separate, whatever it may be, Satan, and through the down, through the occurrences, is always going to try to get you down from where you rightfully are. And I'm going to get into this, but really, let me tell you something. You have no rights. See, when I gave my life to Christ, I gave up lordship of my life. You're the biggest problem in your life, male, female, in here. And Tom, let me tell you something. As we were in there and your precious wife, as she was ministering around, she's your greatest asset. I'm telling you, this is a woman of God right here. I'm telling you. Well, we know that. Satan always wants me to get involved. He wants me to stick my nose in God's business. Now get this. You have no rights. You gave up your rights when you said, I do to Jesus. He said, I will and I am in your life. And where you mess up is when you get involved. Jesus, being all God and all man, did not even stick his nose in the Word's business. Now, I want y'all to stay with me. He did not stick his nose, him being all man. He did not let humanity come into play when he was tempted in the desert or battling Satan. He didn't stick his nose into Word's business. Everything that Satan said to him in Matthew 4 and Luke 4, what did he answer? He said, as it is written. Look right here. As it is written in Matthew 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by the very word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Father. Then he said, it is written again in verse 7, you shall not tempt the Lord thy God. And then verse 10, away with you, Satan, for it is written. Jesus never let his humanity come on the scene. You're not your own, you're his. You were bought with a price. You have no right or authority to stick your nose in God's business. I'm just telling you. And when Satan tries to come at you, you have no legal right. He can't mess with somebody or something that's not there. He has no right or authority. Let's look where we're going with this. All right. Down is from higher to lower. Satan, in all of his ways, wants me to get involved or stick my nose in God's business. You know, and we said Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. And then we read by example in Matthew 4 and Luke 4 where Jesus did not stick his nose into the Word's business. He didn't. The humanity in Jesus never rose up. Because if he had, he would not have been the Lamb without spot or blemish. He would not have been the perfect sacrifice. He never stuck his nose in the Word's business. You have no right. The only right that Point of Hope has here is the right and authority under me that I have given them the authority. Now, I gave that authority away to this team. How do they do? However they see fit. You gave your right and authority away when you called upon the name of Jesus and you went through the Romans road of salvation, so to speak. Okay, Romans what? 10, 9, 10, and 13. We'll get into that. You have no right. Let me ask you this. Do I have a right to come up to your house and do anything I want to do? Do I have a right to come and tell you why? Look at here. In your life, in our life, when Satan comes, if there's nothing there to mess with, what's the outcome? There's no game for him. All right, let's look at this. Unconquered. Unconquered. I want you to turn real quick over to Luke chapter 4, verse 14, real quick. Unconquered, the definition is, it means to be, cannot be overcome by force. Cannot be overcome by force. If you're not there, there's nothing to overcome. Because where are you at? You're not your own. You're his, bought with the price. You're seated with Christ in heavenly places, right? When that policeman delivered that blow to me, I've never felt a force in all my life. And I've been hit at, shot at, beat at, you name it. If you're going to be dumb, you better be tough. But I've never had a force hit me and it staggered me and actually tried to take me down. It tried to cast me down. But the power of God stood me up And I said, He is my strength and my refuge, my strong and mighty tower. See, Mark wasn't there. Mark wasn't there. And the enemy wanted to do. And look right here, after Jesus was tempted in Luke 4, 8, you know, let's see, where am I at? Luke 4, 14. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. After he did all that tempting, he returned in the power of the Spirit. If we stay who we are in the Spirit, the humanity's left behind. You see what I'm talking about? If I'm not there, he can't bust my chops. Now, we run a men's ministry. I'll get real with them. But even notice this in Luke and in Matthew right there. It says, then Jesus in Luke 4:14, then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out throughout the whole surrounding areas. When that policeman delivered that to me and knocked me down, so to speak, tried to take me off my high place, me seated, come at me in the humanity realm, the power of God stood me back up, and I started praising Jesus. And guess what got to be known? He went to his surrounding city, Grovetown, and started telling, I've never met a man that called on the name of Jesus the way that cat did. And you know what actually happened? Mark disappeared and let me worship to my Lord. I ain't believing this damn lie. I ain't believing it. So is Jesus under the power of the Spirit? Are we being Spirit-led? And let me give somebody permission. It's okay. I'm going to give you God's permission today. It's all right for you to be led of the Spirit. And I can prove it to you in John 17. You're not a flesh person no more. You're a spirit being. Okay? All right, if we look down in those scriptures, let's jump real back real quick to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And if you look at, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. Hard pressed, but not suffocated. Okay, and then we are perplexed, but not in despair. It's puzzled, but not utterly baffled. Okay? And then we've got the other one, persecuted, but not forsaken. It's pursued, but not caught or run down. Struck down, but not destroyed. Struck down, but not out of the fight. Not out of the combat, not out of the boxing match. You know, the first two are in wrestling. The third one is in a race, and the third one is Mortal Kombat. It's a boxing match. And let me tell you something. How intense is the battle to get to knock you out of your place in heaven? And I don't mean that on a salvation. Please, stay with me. We're way past that. It's to take you away from who you are. To put you back in this earth suit. You're a spirit being. You notice, as it said in Matthew, in Luke 4 there, that Jesus remained in the Spirit. Let me tell you something. Jesus had whiskers. Jesus had B.O. Jesus went to the bathroom, folks. Jesus had to use toilet paper. But he never let his flesh rise up over his spirit. He never battled in the humanity. He always battled in the spirit. Look here. Satan can't battle something that ain't there. All right, verse 7 again. Cast down, but unconquered. But we have in this treasure in earthen vessels, the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Let's jump over to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Now we are the earthen vessel. We are a clay jar. I did the funeral yesterday to a man that was 37 years old that died of diabetes. That wasn't the will of God, folks. You know, Psalms 90 tells us what? Some were given 70, and if by strength, 80 years. And then we will fly away. That wasn't God's will, 37-year-old man die. But when I preached the gospel, there was two that got saved. One was almost 70, and the other one was 18. It's never too late, folks. In death, there is life. Death in life is in the power of the tongue. We're going to get into that. Let's look right here. Now, we're talking about the excellence of power that is in me. Let's just hit verse 1. God in various times and in various ways spoke in the time past to the fathers by the prophets. Verse 2. Has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, who is appointed heir of all things, to whom also He made the worlds. Now get this, verse 3. This is Jesus. This is who. This is what indwells in an earthen vessel. Who being in the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, upholding all things by the word of His power, and when He by Himself purged out our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Father, the Majesty on high. Let me tell you something. Jesus is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Amen. And now we're talking about an earthen vessel. Let's turn over real quick to Psalm 16, an earthen vessel. And I want everybody in here to say something with me. I have no right.
I have no right.
I've given all rights up.
I've given all rights up.
You know, I made the example a minute ago. I gave all rights up to this place when Point of Hope came in. I gave them full authority. Let's go to Psalm 16 real quick. And I want you to look at your rights. You have no right. If you've accepted Christ according to God's word, and there's only one way to be secure through salvation, and that is through the word of God. No one is saved except through the word of God. Now, I can show you in scripture. I'm not going there. I can show you that you must have accepted God's word for salvation. Whether Tom told you about it, Ben, whoever told you about Jesus and salvation, you accepted the Word of God. You are saved and made whole by the Word of God. There's no other way. All right, Psalm 16, verse 1. Psalm 16, you have no right. If you've given up your right, there's nobody there for Satan to battle. And then the power of God will flow through you. You know, look at here. When you give it up, there's nothing to restrict. Catherine Kuhlman and my pastor, Catherine Ruinala and Tom Ruinala, would say all the time, God's not looking for gold or silver vessels. He's looking for a yielded vessel. If there's nothing in that vessel, it flows in and out, folks. We've had soup pots in here. One soup pot fed 160 people, I think. Am I not right, Pastor? You get out of the way, God will do God things. And when you're cast down, it's not that you that rises up, it's Him that rises up, because you're not on the scene. You ain't got to have your ASSS there. You ain't even got to be there. And if you're questioning the word, walk up at the pasture. We've got four up there, okay? And they're called donkeys. All right, Psalm 16. Listen to this. Stay with me. Preserve me, O God, for in You I put my trust. through those 3 days, the Spirit of the Lord moved on me. Don't do nothing with your daughter. People say, when you're doing this, do that. That man kept people. I wouldn't let certain people even around me. If you had an activity, you didn't get near me. If you were bringing death, you don't come near me. I guarantee you that. When Peter went in to raise Tabitha from the dead, he didn't take all the rest of them in, did he? Let me ask you this, if you've done this, and you might have done in it and on the salvation sent, but look right here. Verse 1 of Psalm 16. Preserve me, O God, for I put my trust in you. If I'm putting my trust in him, I'm not trusting me. Because I'll tell you one thing, I don't trust this man right here that I shave. I do not trust me. And let me tell you something. Junettes, juniors, who I've got in here, if you're trusting in you, you're not trusting in the Lord. And let me tell you something, when the storm and the hail comes, you're going to get your hind end kicked. Because you're on the scene. And if all God and all man and the God of all and the Son of God deferred all the battle to the Word of God, why are you picking it up? Them battles are bigger than you. Jesus never stuck his nose into the Word's business. He never did. If God tells you to do something, here's a word for somebody. God tells you to do something, don't worry about the outcome. Just do what he told you. He told me I was going to Peru, and all I said is, I got to go. What are you going to do, Mark? I don't care. Why? What do you mean? I don't care. It doesn't matter. What do you mean? All I got to go do is go. I ain't got to come back. And through that, God gave me the nation of Peru. I stood in the airport in Lima, the capital city, and the pastor over that whole area and our guy looked at me and patted me and he said, Mark, God gave you the nation of Peru. Because I went under the mindset, he told me to go, I went, I didn't have to come back. All I knew is I had to go. When he tells you something, don't worry about the circumstances, just do the first part. Let's look at this. Preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust. Now look at here. We say this in the men's meeting. O my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord. And if he's your Lord, sweetheart, you ain't your Lord. And let me tell you something. I ain't never been in or heard of a castle where they come in and tried to major attack the servant. The major attack don't come at the servant. The servants usually go, well, he's up there. When the devil comes into your castle and wants to beat you up, say, he's up there.
That's right.
I'm just the servant.
That's right.
I'm up there.
That's right.
Give it up. You have no lordship.
Yes.
Satan can't fight something that's not there.
No.
Now look right here. My goodness is nothing apart from you. My goodness is nothing apart from you. In other words, folks, the Word of God is telling you you're a big fat zero. My goodness, Lord, is nothing apart from you. Jesus, if we could put a percentage up on him, he was 100% God. You take 100%, I tell my guys this all the time, plus zero, what do you still have? Still got 100, right? I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to deliver a prophetic word to you right now. It's okay to be a zero. When the big zero, that your zero hits you, you'll have revelation power like no other. The prophetic word, the healing, the gifts, the miracles will come forth in you. Because if you take 100 plus zero, there's still 100. Get out of the way. Because he's fixing to save the day. When the thief comes in to the castle and inquires where the Lord is, point upstairs. I'm a servant. I ain't got no say, pal. Go upstairs. And he'll say, oh, no, I ain't going up there. Faith knocked on the door. So you have no fight. Let me tell you something. You have no dog in this fight. Your spiritual walk, you have no dog in the fight. You ain't got a thing to do about it. It's none of your stinking business. Keep your nose out of it. You don't come to my house and tell me what to do. I don't come to your house. You don't go in the presence of the Lord and tell Him what to do. He tells you what to do. Then there's nothing to battle. There's nothing to cast down. There's nothing to have to raise up. Let's talk about being a vessel. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And I want you to think about you being a vessel. And I want you to think of Psalms 119:105. For the word of the Lord is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And where's the word of the Lord at? And we're going to get into that. It's in your heart, right? It's in your heart. Second Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2 through 7 would say this. You are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is the heart. And verse 4 would say, and we have such trust through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being of ourselves. Let me repeat that. Go ahead and turn over. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Excuse me, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 4. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 4. And while you're getting there, I'm gonna read verse 2 again. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2. You are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men. People are always watching us, guys. There's two times that people watch us. Two times. Get this in your spirit. They're watching you when you're on the top, and they're watching you when things are trying to take you to the bottom. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. The Spirit, not the letter. You're dead to the law. You're a spirit being. You're a spirit being. Jesus put His personal stamp on you. When you said yes to Him, He took over ownership of you. He did. We're going to quote that scripture just in a minute. You're not your own. You're His. You were bought with a price. Your vessel is for His use. See, He now has ownership of you. Now look right here. Verse 4. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 4. And we have such trust through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves. I have no rights there. It took all my rights again. I love me. But if I'm not there, all I'm supposed to do is do what He tells me to do. And if you want to operate sufficiently for the Lord, do what He tells you. Don't question it. If He tells you to go get in a river and lay down and wallow, do it. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Verse 6, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new love or the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Verse 9, and He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. I want you to think of a new definition of grace when He says, my grace is sufficient for you. We all know grace is being the unmerited favor of God, right? The love of God. Help me out. Anybody got another one? What grace is? I want you to put this one in your spirit. God's ability to do for me what I can't do on my own. God's ability to do for me what I can't do on my own. Guess what that does? That takes me out of the picture again. I'm a big, fat, stinking zero again. Zero's the most power. Because, see, let me tell you something. I get so aggravated at myself. I've lived 59 years, and all I've did was restrict God's power. Mark, just step your stinking hind end out of the way and let Him flow. And He'll go. You let Him flow, and He'll go. But you got to get out of the way, Mark. Now, y'all can jump on this if you want to. But when I let Him flow, we see mighty things. We've seen broken hands healed in here, haven't we, Pastor? Totally come in broken from the doctor. Been to the doctor that day and that night, they washed dishes. You can say what you want to. It ain't going to change it. Yep. And when you preach the gospel, amen, when you preach the gospel, what will follow? The power, the evidence, the miracles, the sign, the wonder. And He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. There you are again, a big fat zero. Why can't I just be me, my good old loving me? That handsome hunk of flesh, man. I have no authority anymore. I gave it all up. And in my weakness, He is made strong. What did John the Baptist say? You know, John the Baptist had a pretty strong pedigree, right? He said, Jesus must increase and I must decrease. And if the Bible said that there's never been a man like John the Baptist born of a woman. But then it said, the least of the kingdom of heaven is far greater than John the Baptist ever thought about being. In other words, John the Baptist wasn't nothing in a bulldog yard. Compared to the Spirit in the vessel. See, the Spirit was just on John the Baptist. But He's in me and you. Now Paul is in, he says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities, in my reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Be a zero, and you will be God's hero. Be a zero, and you will be God's hero. And you will be the gospel. Let's turn over in our Bibles. Let's turn over to Jeremiah 32, and I want to give you all something. Remember, the greatest way to battle the enemy is when we get cast down, when we get thrown, you know, when we're thrown things that we don't see coming. My God, that's the hard part. Man, I didn't see that one coming out of left field. But if we've got the armor, Nancy quoted it a minute ago, in, you know, in Ephesians 6, it helps us deflect the arrows, the shot to the head, the feet, the thighs, the belt of truth, you know, the waist. Jeremiah 32. Now I want you to let's just go to 31. Let's go to 31:31. And we talked about the Spirit of God coming and dwelling. And what does it say? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, when we accept Christ, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. In other words, Jesus came and put his signature of ownership on your heart. He put the command, he put the law of Christ, the love of Christ, the law of the word engraved upon your heart. Amen? Has everybody got that? And it is the new covenant. Now let's read about that in Jeremiah 31:31. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant I made with their fathers. All right? And I'm going to shoot right down to 33. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Man. Let me tell you something. I had a brother that if you messed with me, you messed with him. Let me tell you something. You mess with me, you mess with God. But let me tell you something. If I'm not in the picture, it's not, you can do anything you want to me and it ain't going to matter. You're going to deal with him. But I tell you what he's going to do. He's going to love the hell right out of you. He's going to love you. He's going to put up with you. Man, God has been merciful to me. How many times have I stopped the move of God working through me? Folks, I have no right. I have no rights, and I'm going to fix and show you why you, even more, why you don't have a right. Why you don't have a right. Let's turn right here to Jeremiah 32. You're right there at Jeremiah 31. So we've all established that now the Word of God is written upon our heart. His signature, His ownership, right? We're a new creation. In other words, we're a little Christ. Does that make any sense? We're His representation. And if you're waiting for Jesus to get up from the right hand of the Father to come down here and do what He equipped you to do, sorry, Charlie, no tuna. It ain't going to happen. He's got you. All right, let's look right here. So the story in verse 32 is right there where Jeremiah is buying a field. And he goes right down, and he's prophesied in times past against Zedekiah, the king of Judah there. He's prophesied about him, and he starts mocking him. That takes you down through verse 5. And then if you look right here, I want everybody to turn to Jeremiah 32:6. Now really pay attention to this, because somebody's going to get some help, especially right here. Verse 6 says in Jeremiah 32:6, it said, the word of the Lord came to me saying, behold, Hamel, how you say that, Hamel, the son of Shalom, your uncle, will come to you saying, buy my field, which is at Anaboth. For the right of redemption is yours to buy it. Now you all, really, the Lord burned this in me. Somebody's got to hear what I'm fixing to lead to. Verse 8. In other words, let me recap verse 7. In other words, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah that his uncle, by the Spirit, was going to come to him and tell him, I want you to buy my field, for it is your right, being next of kin, redemption. You're going to redeem this land. The same way Jesus redeemed your vessel, your land. You. See, you're no longer your own land, man. You're Jesus's. Stay with me. You're no longer your own. Every one of you. Is there a sinner in here? I didn't ask for saints. That sin. Look at here. You're looking at a saint that will sin on you. Now, you don't have to admit that. That's fine. I am. Okay? We'll get that straight. I'm a saint that missed the mark. I will miss the mark. So we're all dealing with people that the Spirit of God indwells in here. In other words, He wrote His Word, His Jesus' name on the tablet of your heart. You're a little Christ now. Now look right here. Verse 7, Behold, Hamel, son of Shalom, your uncle, will come to you saying, Buy my field, which is in Anaboth, for the right of redemption is yours to buy it. Verse 8, Then Hamel, my uncle's son, came to me in the court of the prison according to the word of God. In other words, the word of God come forth, the Spirit of God released it upon the prophet, he released it. Then the next thing you know, what happened? Here the word starts being manifest, coming out. Just because somebody speaks it over to you and things don't go exactly the way you thought they were supposed to go, don't give up on that word, folks. The Satan a lot of times will try to send or counterfeit to it. He's going to try to kill that word. The word's got to come forth. All right, now look right here what happened. Verse 8, Then Hamel, my uncle's son, came to me in the court of prison according to the word of the Lord and said to me, Please buy my field that is in Anaboth, which is in the country of Benjamin, for the right of inheritance is yours and the redemption yours. Buy it for yourself. Now get this. Listen, pay attention to me. Who's speaking to us? One of the most powerful prophets in existence. Jeremiah. Now listen to what he says. In the word of the Lord had already come to him. He spoke it out. Then it come into what? Tradition, you might say, or, you know, revelation. Then look what he does. Look what one of the most powerful prophets in existence said. Verse 8, at the end of it, he said, Then I knew it was the word of the Lord. Let the word be proven to you. If one of the most mighty men of God says, Then I knew it was the word of the Lord. Are y'all catching that? Jeremiah spoke it. He didn't force it. It came. He said, I'm resting on it. Now I know it's the word of the Lord. I'm going to buy the land. See, he redeemed all of Israel basically then. All right, this is where we're going with this thing. And if you go right on down through there, let's just read it. So I bought the field, verse 9, from Hamel, the son of my uncle who was in Anaboth, and weighed out to him the money, 17 shekels of silver. And I signed the deed and sealed it. I took witnesses and weighed the money on the scales. So I took the purchase deed, both that which was sealed according to the law and custom, and that which was open. So he pays this uncle about $10.83 U.S. money now for all that land. And he had done prophesied that the king of Babylon was going to take it, and they lost all the land. Now here's where I'm going with this thing. Customary of that ancient time, when that transaction happened, there was two deeds made. They were duplicates. Okay? They were called purchase deeds. And in this particular transaction, both of those deeds were put into a clay vessel. And they were buried in the land to preserve it. Okay? 70 years later, well, after the fall, then 70 years later, according to his own prophetic word that the Spirit of God moved on to him, it came, the house came back. Now, here's where I'm going with this thing. It was customary at that time, what you would do, you would take the two deeds. You would put one deed in an earthen vessel. And that was the signature of the purchaser on that deed. And you would put it in a safe place. Then the other deed would have the purchaser on it. It would be put in the open city square for everybody to investigate and check out that with the signatures of the witness that the business deal was legit. Now, where is the old crazy man of God going? You are one deed. The Word of God is written upon you, and you're the vessel that's out in the open to expose the Word to everyone. Where is the second vessel? I'm telling you where the second signature is at. Remember, the purchaser signed the documents. Jesus signed your heart when you got saved. You're the open vessel for everyone to examine. Where's the second one? Turn to Revelation 5 and put this in your pipe and smoke it. Turn to Revelation 5. There's two. In that day, there was two documents. They were the same document. They had witnesses sign them. Jeremiah signed it. The purchaser had to sign it. When Jesus bought you, you gave away and he signed your heart. You are the deed to the world. You're the open vessel. In the signature houses in you. You're the open display of the document of God. All right, let's go to Revelation 5. Where's Revelation at? Is it in the last book? I'll look right here. No, it's Revelation 3. Thank you, Lord. Oh, yeah, is this all right? Are y'all staying with me? Am I going crazy? Revelation 3:5. Yeah. Revelation 3:5. Now what we're talking about the second copy of the purchase deed. Remember, one copy of the deed would be put in an earthen vessel for the whole city to examine to see if it's legit. You have been bought with a price. Jesus purchased you at Calvary. You have no rights. You're a big fat stinking zero. Satan can't battle someone that's not there. And if you're not there, you can't restrict him. Be in the power of God. Just tell the devil to go upstairs and get on Jesus. Revelation 3:5. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life. The second deed is the book of life, and Jesus wrote your name in it. In other words, he said, you're my possession. There's your second deed right there. And it's put in a safe place. Is heaven a safe place? You have no right. You have no right. You have no right. You got sold. Paul had it right. He said, I'm a prisoner of the Lord Jesus. I'm a slave to the Lord. Prisoners and slaves are under the full authority of their master. Paul gave up all right, because when he said yes to Jesus, Jesus wrote upon the table of his heart ownership, and his name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life, in the Book of Life, the second document. Let me tell you one thing. For 8 months, people have been trying to tell me my daughter wasn't saved. You know what that do to a man like me? One person in particular has been trying to tell me she wasn't secure in Christ. I led her to the Lord. I took her to church. I did this. And so all Satan's trying to do to me is, and I keep telling this person, you got to quit. Her name is written in the book of life. The second deed, folks, was put in the most safe place in heaven. Your purchaser, being Christ Jesus, wrote your name in the book of life. The Bible says, I'll just quote it. All right, let's just look right here. I got it right here. Let's read verse 5 again. And he who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments. That's without sin, right? Those are righteous garments. The Bible says that I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. And I will not blot out her name from the book of life, but I will confess her, his name, before my Father and his angels. There's your witnesses. And the 24 elders and a great cloud of witnesses. When that transaction back in the ancients would took place, the witnesses signed it. One was put on display. Let me tell you something. You're not doing this job. I'm not doing it by myself. I got a great cloud of witnesses that encourage me. So the first document, I'm the document. It's got Jesus put his... John Hancock didn't write on me. Jesus wrote on me. The second document is in heaven, the safe place. And your name cannot be blotted out of the book of life. But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. There's your witnesses. And the 24 elders. All right, Matthew 10:32. Jesus said, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him will I also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. If you looked at Hebrews chapter 8, verse 2, it said, you know, we're the open document. It says, a minister of the sanctuary of the true tabernacle, which the Lord erected. The Lord erected his spirit in your temple. Your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. All right, now get this. Which the Lord erected and not man. You have no rights, folks. You're a big fat zero. God made you. You didn't make yourself. Look right here. John chapter 1, verse 12. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right, authority, or power to become the children of God. Now get this. I told you he made a tabernacle, a temple. Verse 13 says, who were born not of blood, nor the will of man, nor the will of flesh, but of God. Folks, you're a zero. And if there's nothing there to cast down or battle, God will flow. Amen. First Corinthians 6:19. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Amen. It's over. Jesus was not a liar when he said, "It is finished." Jesus don't need Mark, because Mark's a zero. I'm nothing. My goodness apart from him is nothing. But let me tell you one thing. 100 plus 0 is still 100. But look at me, and I want you all to stand up, because I want to bless you right quick. And we're going to let Nancy do what she does. Look right here. I want you to get this in your spirit. You're nothing. You're nothing. But you're everything with him. Zero plus 100, you still got 0. You still got 100. You're nothing, but you're everything with him. Now, we've seen in the Word of God where we're a nothing, but we're everything. Amen? Because, see, Christ took over and inhabited this tabernacle. Okay? And when the junk comes, 5 people in my immediate family have went home to be with the Lord in the past 8 months. And I'm talking about immediate. My baby, daddy's heart. As we were preparing for my baby brother, the Spirit of God moved on me. I was coming back from Washington, D.C., and the Spirit of God moved on me, getting ready to go on Team USA to Peru. And the Spirit of the Lord said, "Go to your brother." "Yes, sir." Went down there. 4 days later, I called Pastor Jerry that there was so much. I had the men praying for me. That it was just so much warfare going in. My brother had died on a Sunday. As I was preparing to do my brother's funeral, my mama collapsed in the bathroom at the day, and I went and did my brother's funeral, and then I went and released my mama to the Lord. We called life. Nancy talked to my son some last night, my young boy. We knocked the door down. He jumped in the tub. We give her mouth-to-mouth chest compressions. I called back the Spirit of God in her. She came back once, shook it off, and she went on. But let me tell you something, folks. If we're a zero, there's nothing to cast down, you know? I say we don't hurt. We do hurt. But see, I ain't got no dog in this fight no more. Amen? And through that, the power of God will flow. Because let me tell you something. You have no legal right. You have none. You gave your legal rights away to Christ. I've proved it to you today through the Word of God. You have absolutely no, you're not even your own ownership no more. There's 2 documents. One's written on you and you're a public display. The other is written in the Lamb's, in the book of life. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Amen.
Thank you for your attention.